The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. This hour is very full, so probably won't be taking any calls this hour, but we're about to have Daniel Cormier. And then next segment, when we go to break, start calling in. Callers 10, 11, and 12, you're going to get to play Moron of the Week. Two of you are winning UFC tickets. One of you gets nothing. So we didn't get a chance to do that yesterday, but at 5:15 is when you start calling in. Don't start now, and you have to hold on through the break. Does that sound cool? Everybody good with that?
Sounds good.
A lot of great stuff the first hour, all on podcastarena.com. Go and check it out. We had Dana White, and we had Shannon on from Two Belows, and we had a bunch of people who were trying to kill our tower that we're going to go after. So all fun stuff. But right now, let's do AJ's interview with Daniel Cormier.
Joining us now on the program is the undisputed light heavyweight champion of the world. I bet that sounds good. Daniel Cormier on the phone with us. Daniel, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. Just resting before I start finish doing all this media.
Now, today is, you know, I guess it's the last weight-cutting day. How are you feeling? How close are you? What's the camp been like? What's everything? How's it all coming together right now?
It's been insane, man. I got a new nutritionist, Dan Leith, and he's got my weight spot on, man. I was only 5.5 pounds over this morning, so I'm good to go, man. This is about as light as I've been in a really long time, so it's going really good.
I was reading where, you know, speaking of your weight, I was reading where you've been walking around the halls and seeing these heavyweights, the Arlovskis and Josh Barnetts of the world, and you've decided that you're never going to be fighting at heavyweight again.
No. Those guys are big, man. I didn't realize how big they were because I guess I had to fight them. But now I'm like, man, these guys are massive. Maybe I've just gotten too small. But these dudes are huge. I was like, I don't want to fight these guys.
Well, it's funny you say that because your last fight was probably against one of the biggest light heavyweights there is. And this one's against another very large man. It's seems like that's going to be the case wherever you go. But how, as a shorter guy in the division, how do you handle that? Or do you change the way you train for a bigger man?
You know what? You do have to make a few adjustments, but not many. You know, I prepare as I always prepare. You know, I use my team, I use my guys, Kane and those guys. They can prepare you for anything. You know, I have some of the best fighters in the world that I train with on a day-to-day basis, and I know these guys will always have me ready. So I make a few adjustments here and there, but I usually stick to the plan, man. I do what I do, and fight on fight night, it's usually enough.
What's the feeling going to be like tomorrow, or excuse me, Saturday, when you walk to that cage with the belt? And, you know, you've gone out there, you went out there when your opponent came out with the belt and John Jones, and you went out there knowing against Anthony Johnson that one of you would leave with it. But is there a different kind of pressure, you think, when you're the guy who's got the title and you're the guy who's expected to go out there and retain it?
Man, it's not really pressure. It's just more outside of the octagon stuff. Rather than stuff that really is inside of the octagon. Like, I do more media. I do more stuff like this. You know, there's more promotion before a fight. But outside of that, it's the same, man. It's the same story. I'm just preparing to go out there and fight my best. I believe that if I do that, I can win this fight, and I can win this fight going away.
A couple of your fights, you know, the interaction between you and your opponents on social media and in the media, it has been legendary, namely Patrick Cummins, John Jones. I saw that a couple times you maybe tried to get Alex involved in some of that, and he's just not interested. Is it different to have a guy who you can take a jab at and he just kind of shrugs it off?
Not, you know, it's cool, man. Alex is he's more of a laid back type of guy. He always says it's all good. It's all good. I go, Alex, why do you always say it's all good? He goes, I'm pretty limited in English, you know, so give the guy a break. He's a decent enough guy, you know, but he just keeps saying it's all good. It's all good. But, yeah, it's fun. You know, I have nothing against Alexander Gustafsson. I'm going out there to compete against the guy.
Is it different to fight a guy who is a likable guy as opposed to a guy like John Jones or Patrick Cummins that you have, like, a personal beef with?
You know, man, it is easier for me. Because it allows me to fight in the way that I like to fight because I'm just competing against the guy. I have no ill feelings. So, it's better for me to fight a guy that I actually have no ill feelings towards and I don't dislike, you know?
Speaking of John Jones, his sentence comes down. He's going to get no jail time. And my guess is that he'll be back in the UFC before long. What were your thoughts when you heard the ruling on John Jones, and when do you expect to see him back?
You know, I don't necessarily know when he'll be back, but my feeling was we have a system for a reason. You know, we put these people in these positions, and they're in these positions because this is what they do. And if they thought that punishment was fair, then that's the punishment that we all have to accept. It's not a slap on the wrist like many people are trying to say it is. 70 hours of community service for a guy like Jones, it's not easy, man, because he's a busy guy. But it's better than nothing. So we'll see what happens.
You know, this is an interesting fight because you and Gus have your last two opponents in common, Anthony Johnson and John Jones. And he actually looked very sharp against John Jones, a fight that you did not have your best performance in. And then you looked dominant against Anthony Johnson, who's a guy that really crushed Alex Gustafsson. Do you take anything out of those head-to-head matchups, those common opponents?
You know, man, I don't think he can really because styles make fights. You know, my style was good for Rumble. Maybe Gus's style was good for Jones. I don't know. So we're two different guys, two different fighters. So you can't really do that. That's not the smartest way to approach a fight. You know, you start approaching a fight saying, well, I fought this guy closer. You're really setting yourself up for failure.
Is it an exciting thing for you to be fighting here in Houston again? I mean, close to your family, close to your home, and this is the first time since, you know, 2013 you've been down this way. Actually, the first time since 2013 you fought outside of Vegas. But is it an exciting thing for you to be close to home?
Oh, man, I love it. I'm so excited about being here. You know, this is what I wanted. You know, I wanted to fight in Houston. I wanted to get close to home. I wanted to be where my family could get here very easy, you know, so it's good, man. I'm very excited. I'm pumped. I was pumped, man, you know. When they told me that it was going to be Houston, I jumped right on it. The problem was I had some issues right before where I needed to get some things done to my knee, and they wanted me to fight in September. But then the problem, they told me that they had a fight in Houston a month later. So it's safe to say I wasn't that bummed that I was going to do those few things to my knee.
Obviously, you're training up at AKA. You mentioned training with Kane and those guys, and Kane's going to be back in the title mix. Luke Rockhold in the title mix. Khabib Nurmagomedov is working his way into that conversation. Do you feel like, you know, real soon people are going to realize that AKA may be the best gym in the world? Is there a possibility you guys have four champions here in the near future?
Yeah, that is very much a possibility. I think we get respect, but I don't think they respect the gym for everything that it is, being that the most of the guys that you said, we were born, we were raised, and brought up in AKA. None of these guys actually moved in, you know? We all have been at AKA since day one, except for Khabib. But me and Luke and Kane, we walked in there just, we were nothing, you know? We were just guys that wanted to fight. They actually built us up and built us to where we are today. It's something that most gyms cannot say.
You know, and I mentioned those champions, and I didn't mention Liam McGeary, who I didn't know was training with you guys until recently. And is it nice to have another guy in your weight class, who the Bellator light heavyweight champion, another big body to work with, or is it sort of a, is there any kind of competition between you guys in the gym?
You know, Liam comes sometimes. He hasn't been lately. But when he's there, he's good, you know, because he's tall. He's got great grappling. He's very good at boxing, actually. He hits so hard, man. But he's tough. You know, I love having Liam. And the best thing about having Liam around is that he's just a great guy. He's funny. He's very helpful. He's a great guy to have around. So, yeah, man, it's good. All that championship, all these championship-level guys under one roof is insane.
Last one before we let you go, Daniel. The I guess not the co-main event, but the fight right below it, Ryan Bader and Rashad Evans. A lot of people saying maybe this is a title eliminator fight. Are you paying attention to things like that, or is everything focused on Alex?
Everything's focused on Gustafson. I'm watching because Rashad's a good friend of mine, and I wish him the best. But my fight's what's important, because if I don't get through this one, then all that title talk goes out the window. I've got to focus on Alex. Make sure I retain the championship, and then we'll move forward from there and see what happens.
All right, that's the light heavyweight champion of the world, Daniel Cormier. You can see him UFC 192 this Saturday down at Toyota Center. If you can't make it, you can always watch it on pay-per-view. He's in the main event against Alex Gustafson. Best of luck, Daniel, and looking forward to seeing you in Houston again. And talk to you next time, my man.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, that's Daniel Cormier.
That's Daniel Cormier. We'll be right back with more of the Blitz right after this.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A couple things before we get to the game here. Chad said, my daughter spent 57 days in the NICU at Texas Children's. Great place. We started a nonprofit to raise money for them. They were so great. And I got a bunch of techs saying the same thing. And, that's really cool that you guys had the same experience, because there's nothing worse than having a child who's, when you're in an ICU, that's pretty damn serious, especially when they're, and some of the things we saw in there with some of the kids that didn't get out of there were really bad too. But I'll tell you what, the people who worked there, and some of the things they have to deal with every day, were fantastic. So I'm glad you did that, Chad. Thank you for that. All right, here's what we got. Are you up for whatever?
Yeah.
Courtesy of Bud Light, we have a pair of tickets to give away for UFC 192. Saturday, light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier battles international superstar Alexander Gustafson. Also, see Rashad Evans face off against Ryan Bader and Johnny Hendricks combat Tyron Woodley. Get tickets at HoustonToyotaCenter.com. It's a perfect night for Bud Light, and see if you're up for whatever. So we have three of you on hold. Two of you are going to win. One of you gets nothing. I know AJ likes that. So here's how it's going to work. You each get a moron. Chase, you get moron number one. Roy, you get moron number two. And person whose name is not appearing on my screen, you get moron number three. Do we know who that is, John?
Juan.
Okay, Juan.
Juan.
So here's what we do. And we usually do this the last segment. Wednesdays, and we just went long, so we didn't get a chance to do it. So that's why we're doing it now. So if you've never heard this, because you're not listening at 6 o'clock, it's a fun game. All right, we will start with, and these are all the same morons I had from yesterday. I didn't change any of them, so they're a day old. But let's start with the first one, which We're going to call Better to be Pissed Off. And this one, a Florida man, of course,
Florida man,
is accused of tossing deadly urine at a cop. He's behind bars.
Deadly urine as opposed to regular urine?
He tossed a liter of, quote, deadly urine at a police officer. He was arrested last Tuesday morning after a Palm Beach County deputy responded to a call at his home. When the officer knocked on the 40-year-old man's door, he allegedly greeted him with a big splash of urine from a liter bottle. It's unclear who or what supplied the urine. Police are describing it as a deadly weapon because urine can cause respiratory infections or permanent bodily harm, according to the report. He then barricaded himself into the house for several hours. So police are calling it deadly urine. We don't know where the urine came from. I don't think I'd want random urine thrown on me either.
Because no, I would not like that.
You never know what's in that stuff, right? I mean, we know it's pee. That's about it. But that's moron number one playing for Chase. And that is Better to be Pissed Off. Number two playing for Roy is What's Behind Door Number Two? We've had a lot of plane experiences on airplanes, right?
We've had our share.
Have you ever had to get up and use the facilities on an airplane?
I have.
And you pretty much know where the door is, right?
Yeah.
You could find it. Well, not James Gray. He was arrested and fined 600 euros, which is about $672, after he tried to open a jet exit at 30,000 feet.
Oh, no.
He told authorities he mistook the exit for a bathroom door. Who does that? He said he claims he merely touched the handle while temporarily confused, but the crew dealt with the situation firmly, ordering him to his seat and informing him he would be arrested upon landing at Amsterdam's airport. And he was. I tried to explain it was a simple mistake. It was a misunderstanding. The police came and arrested me. They weren't too friendly. Spent the night in detention and was later released. He's now banned from the airline for 5 years. So he had to borrow money to take a rival carrier back home to Scotland. I'm just going to guess that alcohol might have been involved in that. But just so you know, you can't open a jet door while it's flying because of the cabin pressure. So it's not like you could do it anyway. And finally, moron number three, I can say at least that guy didn't do this on a plane. A woman was flying back from Hawaii. Nice vacation, right? California couple.
Okay.
They're on a United Airlines flight. It was an anniversary trip. Janet Masters reached down to get, you know, they have those little vomit bags. She found one that was completely full, wrapped in a blanket and stuffed in the seat back pocket. Somebody barfed and left it on the plane and nobody cleaned it out. To make it worse, she attempted to hand the package off to a flight attendant, and vomit reportedly spilled onto her and her husband. Despite a seat change, of course, the smell stuck with them for the duration of the flight. A United Airlines representative apologized to the couple, saying that our cleaners apparently failed to clean out all the seat back pockets. The airline assured the couple that its aircraft are outfitted with appropriate cleaning kits, gave them a $300 credit toward a future United flight. Let me tell you this.
$300.
If you do that to me, if I wind up getting somebody's vomit spilled on me because you didn't clean it out, it's going to cost you a hell of a lot more than the $300 credit.
I'm not even kidding. I would fight someone if they spilled vomit on me. I would fight.
Well, now, if you pick that bag up and it spills on you, but if urine can be deadly, the hell can vomit be?
Yeah.
Masters, you need to get a lawyer. Because a $300 credit ain't going to cut it. I'm just telling you, United, you ever do that to me, it's going to cost you a lot more than that. So,
I thought this was going to be easy. I thought one and two was really, really bad. Number three, oh.
So let's recap. This is going to be tough. Somebody has a great moron. They're going to get left out. Moron number one playing for Chase is Better to be Pissed Off. That's the Florida man who was arrested for tossing a liter of deadly urine at a cop. The playing for Roy is the guy who tried to open the door of the airplane at 30,000 feet and claimed he mistook it for the bathroom. And he's now banned for 5 years from flying on KLM. And the third one is whoever left a bag of vomit, or United Airlines, you pick whichever one's a moron, for not cleaning it up, that poor Mrs. Masters had to get spilled all over herself. So three morons. That one's playing for Juan. Roy, you have the other guy on the plane, and Chase has Urine Man.
I feel like three is the worst.
Three is the worst.
All right, three's the winner then.
Okay, now we need a second.
I'll go one.
Jong?
Hmm. I've had an experience where somebody, when I was on a plane back from Japan, somebody tried to pull the door. The little kid was messing around, tried to pull the door. So I'm going to go with two.
Fred, you're the tiebreaker.
I can't break the tie. We'll flip a coin. All right.
Then tie goes to me.
Why does tie go to you?
I have more say than John.
I kind of like the other airplane story better than
well, there you go then.
So we'll go Juan and Roy. Congratulations. You won UFC tickets.
I can't break the tie.
Breaks the tie.
I know. Usually we don't have big discussions about it. Usually you guys are all in agreement.
Those are three good stories. Yeah, that's good. That last one was disgusting.
Yeah. Apparently, we get a lot of questions about do we like any action tonight. I don't. I don't. I'm going to play Montreal plus 2.5, but I have no interest in the NFL game or the college game.
I think the Ravens win.
So, John asking, do you think the Thursday night home dog applies to Cincinnati because Cincinnati's plus 7? I do. I wonder about their quarterback situation. If I were playing it, I'd take Cincinnati, but I'm not playing the game. So, all right, we're going to take a very quick break. We come back. Christopher Harris, talk a little fantasy. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 975. From the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz Fantasy Football segment, brought to you by FanDuel. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, and joining us, as he does every week, the fantasy genius that runs HarrisFootball.com, Christopher Harris. You can follow him on Twitter, at HarrisFootball. Mr. Harris, how the heck are you today, sir?
I'm doing really, really well. Looking forward to seeing what the heck Michael Vick can do tonight.
Yeah. What are your expectations? I feel like this is, the Michael Vick I last saw was not even a functional player. And now he's going up against a team that is really playing for their lives right now. And the Steelers don't have a great defense. What do you make of Mike Vick tonight?
Well, I totally agree with you. The last time we saw him play for the Jets, it was disaster. I mean, he made Geno Smith look good. So, if they ask him to do a lot, if the game flow winds up with a fall behind, this has got the potential to be really not very good. I'm sure the best laid plans here are let's run with Le'Veon Bell, let's throw some short stuff to Antonio Brown, let's be opportunistic and try to get a lead and not have to have Michael Vick, play from behind. If it happens, it could get out of control fast. Hard to predict game flow, but I certainly think that they're going to carve out a portion of the playbook and just say, listen, try not to turn the ball over, because the last time we saw him play, it's just a turnover machine.
Is he a guy that if you're desperate, you're one of the guys who's got an injured quarterback, do you even think about him?
I think you'd have to be pretty desperate. I mean, I think there are guys available in a lot of leagues where if you need a replacement for Big Ben or Brady on bye or Tony Romo, I would think about Andy Dalton, Tyrod Taylor, even Derek Carr before I think of Michael Vick. I guess if you're in a two quarterback league and there's just nothing available, that's the time to use them.
Christopher Harris, our guest. Bounced back a little bit last week, but if you drafted a guy like Andrew Luck really high, are you pretty much committed to him no matter what, even though he's got a little bit of an arm problem apparently, and he hasn't been quite as efficient as he's been in the past so far?
I totally agree with that statement. The numbers look okay based on the Titans game last week, but the film didn't look so good. I mean, I thought his two big plays that kind of rescued the game were underthrows into double and triple coverage where his receivers kind of saved him. And that's a little bit alarming for Andrew Luck because that's not what we expect from him. I do think, though, fantasy-wise, you're kind of married to him. At this point, he's productive enough, and you're not going to trade him and get nothing. Nickels on the dollar, so to speak. So I think you maybe just hope for the best. It's another matchup where I would imagine they should be able to succeed. A couple of tough defenses to start the season with the Bills and Jets, but I wouldn't have expected the Titans to give them so much trouble. We'll see what the Jaguars do.
I decided the other day, I'm in a 10-team league. I've got Justin Forsett on my team. Carlos Williams was available. Justin Forsett was my second-round pick, and I dropped him. Am I a fool for dropping Justin Forsett? I'm just so sick of running this guy out there every week and him just never doing anything.
Well, I mean, I can see not using him, especially because I think Carlos Williams is, you know, I have him rated higher this week, Williams over Forsett, based on how they've looked on tape so far and certainly based on production. I kind of think Forsett has an okay game tonight, so maybe, you know, you might feel a little sad as of tomorrow. But listen, you know, if you're in a shallow league where people aren't going to be trading for supposed superstars who aren't playing well and you just want to move on, I don't think that's so bad. I was very down on Forsett all summer, so this is one that I kind of felt like I saw coming. He's just a smaller guy. I like the spot for him tonight. I think he'll rack up more yards than he's done so far this season. But in the long run, I think you might be okay.
All right, this segment is sponsored by FanDuel, so I like to throw out some bargains whenever we have you on. So these are quarterbacks under 7,000 if you're going to try to go cheap on the quarterback. And tell me which one of these that you would prefer. Blake Bortles at 6,800 against a questionable Indy defense.
Let's keep going.
Alex Smith, 6,500 against Cincinnati.
That's a little better only because I think the floor is safer with him. You know, you're not going to get a huge upside, but the downside isn't as severe.
Teddy Bridgewater, 6,500 against the Broncos. A very tough matchup for him defensively.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch him. I think the Vikings are trying to play 1970s football right now. They're running like crazy and, you know, barely throwing. He doesn't have a lot of weapons who are healthy.
How about Jameis Winston at 6,400, who hasn't been horrible in his last two starts?
Yeah, the numbers have been okay. I sort of put him on that Bortles level. I think probably Bortles and Winston give you more upside than Alex Smith, but of that group, I think I prefer, maybe it depends on what you're playing. If you're playing in the GPP and trying to make the $1 million, maybe you go with a Bortles or Winston. If you're playing in a 50-50 or, you know, a lower stakes game, maybe you sort of hang loose with the guy who feels safer.
And finally, at 6,400, Brandon Whedon.
Yeah, I mean, I can't do it because I can't find too much tape where he'll take shots. You know, it's all about the dump offs and Lance Dunbar, and, you know, Terrence Williams doesn't have a single catch. Again, you know, I recognize the Saints aren't good on defense, and there's a chance for some upside there. But, you know, if I were gonna pick a non Alex Smith division of this group, the non like total wimp out, you know, I might actually go with Vic. Maybe Vic tonight, or, you know, then I would probably say Bortles if you weren't in a game where, you know, you could use Thursday players.
One guy I wanted to ask about, just back to general talk, is what's going on with Cincinnati's running backs? What do you do there if you're a Jeremy Hill guy?
Yeah, in the doghouse.
Yeah, is it the doghouse? Is it game flow? It's not a great situation if you took them, you know, late first, early second. When I don't even think Jeremy Hill was out there for 20 snaps last game, and he didn't fumble last game. It was two games ago that he fumbled. You know, I feel like there are probably better times ahead. It is a good offensive line, and I don't think it's playing as poorly as some of the other lines. I mean, the Ravens line has really struggled. Let's see tonight if they can turn it around. The Bengals line feels to me like they're doing an okay job, and Hill hasn't shown great vision. And I think that's probably part of why you're seeing a decent amount of Gio Bernard. All things being equal, though, you know, if the game situation winds up with the Bengals inside the five, I still think Hill is the battering ram they're going to use and probably a better bet for touchdowns. But, you know, I don't think you can regard Hill as a no-doubt starter on all situations. You know, I think in a point-perception league, I actually might prefer Bernard. I think he'll be out there more. I think he's out-caught Hill so far this year, 12-1. So, yeah, it's not a total panic situation, but it is a little bit ugly.
There's a game this weekend with a couple muddled quarter or running back situations. Andre Ellington looking to come back from his injury against St. Louis. Todd Gurley still trying to get on the field. Chris Johnson's been good in Arizona. I don't know what they're going to do in St. Louis. What are your thoughts on who's going to end up coming out looking the best this weekend?
I'm not that interested in the Rams situation anyway. Cardinals are playing awfully well on defense, and you know, nobody's really been effective yet. You know, Gurley's the one I want to own, but probably not start because, you know, it's one of those situations where I probably got him late enough that I can just sort of sit on him until I see a full man's workload and then, you know, see what he looks like. I don't mind missing his first game, you know, since he's gotten healthy. The Cardinal situation is real interesting. I mean, you know, I'm going to have Michael Fabiano on the podcast tomorrow, And we're going to talk about that backfield, and he's going to endorse Chris Johnson even if Ellington plays. He thinks for this week, Ellington takes a back seat and Johnson is your guy. I kind of have him rated the other way around, which just goes to show you that, you know, predicting usage when you're not inside that coach's room, really, really tough to do. Tough to trust either guy. I kind of like whoever winds up being the lead back there, but we don't really know who that's going to be this week.
One more situation. I asked you about it last week. See if your thoughts have changed. Matt Jones, Alfred Morris. Matt Jones getting the bulk of the carries and on his way into the end zone fumbles, which is a costly error, and they end up with about the same amount of points. I mean, are you still liking one more than the other?
I remember the conversation last week, and I feel like probably am. I think I've gotten to the point now where I'm kind of even on them.
Okay.
But I can't say that Jones was all that. You know, Jones does a wider variety of things better. You know, he is going to play when they're in hurry up. He's going to play when they're behind. He's going to play when they throw, except for Chris Thompson's playing on third down. And Alfred Morris, you know, is stuck very much as a game flow guy. Doesn't have the acceleration that Jones has. But I still think he's a really good player, and until last week he'd had some long runs himself, and I think it's going to wind up being a mess. There are so many messy backfields. I mean, boy, the Lions' backfield's a mess, and a lot of offensive lines just are not playing well.
All right, that's Christopher Harris, fantasy football expert. Christopher, tell them all about your podcast and how they can listen and what all else you've got going on.
Yeah, you can go to harrisfootball.com, and we have a podcast every weekday where we're advising you on waiver ads and rankings and flex and stuff like that. And our latest thing is now we have listeners who are submitting songs to the podcast. They basically karaoke like famous songs with funny lyrics about fantasy football or the show, and it's getting, man, we have some talented people who listen to the show, let me tell you that.
Well, I know you have a lot of our listeners that are doing it now as well, so keep up the great work, and we look forward to talking to you again next week, my man.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Christopher Harris. We're going to take a very quick break. And getting asked about, are there still spots in the Blitz FanDuel League? So I'm going to do a real quick update to check it. There are 20 spots left. We're up to 280.
Get it while the getting is good.
Yeah,
kids.
Because that's, and it does not include the Thursday night game. But if you wait till tomorrow, I don't think you're going to get in. It's just FanDuel.com/Bauer. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. We come back, we'll have the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day, and it involves beer. It's always
like
a good
that.
Thing. I do too. It's a Blitz.
ESPN 97.5. Don't bless me, Father. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Join us for lunch Friday. We're at Wingstop in the Heights on Yale from 12:30 till 1:30. Pick up some wings. Plus, try your luck to win tickets to see the next U of H, Rice, or Texas game. Station gear or Wingstop gift cards. Wingstop is the preferred wings of ESPN 97.5. And also tomorrow, we'll be out at Toyota Center for the weigh-ins.
So, that's right.
If you're out there for that, come by and say hello. And a couple people wanting to hear your email story. We'll do that at 6 o'clock because we've just been very full with guests and had to get the game in. And we got Willie B at 6:15, and then right now we have the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
And also, I went ahead and made a small play on Cincinnati +7.5 tonight.
All right.
Just and a slightly larger play on Montreal +2.5.
Okay.
Just for some rooting action, because I've got extra money in there and kind of in the mood. All right, I promised you a beer story. Central Florida is not off to the best start this season. The Knights are 0-4.
I heard this.
And they got blown out by Stanford in South Carolina. They lost to Furman. It hasn't been the best of starts for George O'Leary's crew.
No, and I was going to give them credit because, I mean, at least they played some good non-conference games, but then Furman kind of,
yeah,
it's hard to defend that.
You lose to Furman, that's anything called a paladin beats you.
Yeah,
that's not a good look. But apparently, the basement bar in Orlando during UCF games is going to offer free beer until they win. Which, okay, I think that's great.
Like free beer on game day?
On game day during the game.
Okay.
So
I was going to say, you'll go out of business in a hurry.
Yeah, and if you go watch the game there, you're getting free beer. Now, they go on the road against Tulane, so it may end after this week. I think it's a great promotion to get your name out there, and everybody's going to hear about you. You're going to lose money on the deal, no question. And I don't know if it's real beer or what. I mean, it may just be that they trot out the cheapest Keystone Light stuff they can find.
Could be.
But, hey, it's free, and if you're a college student, I'd be there.
Yeah.
But doesn't that kind of work in reverse? Don't you root for UCF to lose? So if I'm getting free beer every game, I want those guys to keep losing.
Kind of, yeah. I feel like you almost have to.
But I think we should monitor this.
I mean, I guess if you're an alum, I don't know. Yeah, that's a tough call. I mean, if I'm a current student, I don't care if my college football team keeps losing as long as I get free beer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how would you have felt when you were at UH?
I don't.
You keep taking the beer,
well,
right?
Well, because I saw them. Well, they weren't 0-0. Well, they were pretty bad 1 year I was there. So I'd much rather have had the beer at that point.
Right.
So, anyway.
I mean, listen, if your team's not competing for a championship, you might as well get free beer.
That's the way I look at it. There's sort of a hierarchy. It's championship, you know, conference championship, decent bowl game.
I mean, Fred, you lost to Furman. What are your expectations now? Like, you're probably not even going to a bowl game. So is the difference between 5-7
Let's try 3-9.
I mean,
I'd rather have the free beer.
If I told you your team's going to go 3-9, but you'll get free beer, or your team will go 5-7 and you won't. Aren't you hoping for 3-9?
Yeah, I am.
It's simple math.
And you're going to have fan guys out there go, I can't believe you would say that. Oh. You want your team to win as many games as possible. To me, if you're not going to make a bowl, it doesn't really matter. Your
if you're not going to get the bowl, get drunk.
And the bowl, not that hard.
No, almost everybody makes a bowl. They have made up bowls now.
Yeah, like the Bahamas Bowl.
But Central Florida ain't going to the Bahamas.
Zhong Li has his own bowl now. The Zhong Li Bowl. Everybody has one.
The Bowl Haircut Bowl.
There's one of those too?
I think so.
Yeah.
Someone's trying to bring it back.
Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day. We got a couple minutes. You want me to read my email?
Yeah. Unless you need more time for it.
Well, what are we doing on the other side of this break?
Nothing. At 6 o'clock, I was thinking we'd do your email.
Oh, okay. We'll do that.
Because then we have a little more time.
Okay.
I'm trying to look
out
for
you. You got this mapped out. This show is it's been a wild one. We've got so many people coming on with us. We've got built-in segments every day. I mean,
it's one of those where we haven't really been able to have a lot of fun,
which is why it's already 6 o'clock and look where we are.
Yeah, but we will.
Let's do 30 minutes on which NFL coach could beat up the rest of them. You want to do that next, John? Is that good radio? Or has that been done?
It's been done, but I'm just trying to see. I'm just trying to guess who could beat up who.
Okay. Well, if somebody else has already stole that idea, then we'll lay off.
What, is it really stealing if they had it first?
Oh, I had it written down, though, and then he did it. So.
Okay.
I'll take Jack Del Rio.
Let me do the. Guess I'm not going to use that one.
Those got your live reads on them.
That's okay. That wasn't my live read sheet, Jung. That was my toughest coach idea.
Oh.
Theater of the mind, bro. Thanks for ruining the image.
What do mimes have to do with this? I don't think a mime would be very good on radio.
Probably not. We had one on before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
It wasn't great. Wasn't great.
So, how did you become a mime? How long have you been a mime? Can you act like you're... AJ's over there miming. Oh, great. This show's totally gone off the rails again. That's okay. But I promise we'll have some fun in the 6 o'clock hour because we're not going to just... We'll have one interview. Willie B will talk some gambling. And the rest of it's just going to be nonsense.
And he's up in the air because he said he might have meeting to jump into. So
What kind of meetings does he have? Is he coming up with new rules or something?
Well, he said, I don't know. He said,
I've got to work on my delivery of like it, don't love it.
He said he had a meeting at 4 and they kept getting pushed back and pushed back. I never heard back from him.
Dude, tell those guys that you're not doing meetings. You got to do a radio show. You know?
It's kind of important.
Yeah. Just, you know, what's important, work or doing a radio show?
Making a living or coming on with us?
Yeah. Priorities, bro.
Anyway. Got to tell you about my friends at Quick Weight Loss Center, and I have kind of a cool story I want to share about that, because I was out running at Memorial Park today, and a guy came up to me. He was kind of nervous about talking to me, which always, you know, I always, don't be nervous, just come up and talk, and said that he had done exactly what I did, which is start with that C25K app to get out and start running, and went to Quick Weight Loss and got a bunch of weight off, and he's running a half marathon in a couple months, and it's like, that was cool to hear. And he looked great. I got to tell you, 50 pounds that I lost, he lost a lot more than that. He lost almost 90, and he looks fantastic. And it was all thanks to Quick Weight Loss Center, and they can do the same thing for you. They've been helping people for 26 years. And if you're embarrassed and if you just think, man, I just don't know if I can, you know, I just don't know if I want to do this, well, go give it a try. Invest in yourself. It'll make a difference. I see Salisbury walking around here all the time. He looks fantastic. It's worked great for me. And I'm meeting people all the time now that have told me the same thing. That, hey, man, Quick Weight Loss Center really works. So give them a try. And right now they got that 30 days for $30. You lose 30 pounds. 30 days, $30. And they've got 15 great Houston locations. If you live outside of Houston, they've got a home program too. So there's all kinds of ways they can help you. Some conditions do apply. And all you have to do, visit quickweightlosscenter.com. You'll get a free no-obligation consultation. Doesn't cost you anything to figure out what they're about. Or give them a call at 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.